The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast movie segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad, and we are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered, and GameStop, power to the players. Now, folks, you found us where you found us, but Darren, can you let the folks know where else they can find us? What are the streaming services? Because there are so many that they can find the Geek Cave now, and we want you to make sure that you can tell your friends that no matter what you use, or what no matter what they use, they'll be able to find us and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, there's geekcavepodcast.com. There's podbean.com. That's podbean.com. There's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio.
And with that, I mean, totally free. And you're going to get the Geek Cave podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get You Want Me to Watch What?
Yeah.
Yep. Which is fairly new. On our YouTube channel, you're going to be getting
Retromantics.
Yeah. Yep.
It's brand new to me. I just learned about it today. and I'm pretty sure that Darren is still putting up some video game streams through Twitch.
Twitch, and those get exported to our YouTube channel as well about a day after. So if you can't watch live, you can watch it later. We just did an hour gameplay of Concrete Genie, which is a cool PS4/PSVR game. It's fun. It's very colorful, very pretty to look at. Check out the stream.
So, yeah.
Just to clarify, our podcast is not exclusively on those sites. I use a podcast app called CastBox, and it kind of scrubs iTunes and Stitcher and all those to find stuff, and we show up there. So pretty
awesome.
Much whatever podcast app someone uses that you think would enjoy this, they'll be able to find us.
Yeah.
All right.
Or just, you know, take their phone, subscribe when they're not looking, and then, you know.
There you go. That's actually the preferred method.
you get +2 advantage on a sneak attack.
So, all right. So we have got movie things to talk about. For one, because we are comics fans as well, there are photos now of Robert Pattinson dressed up as Batman that are circulating online, and not just that weird red camera test thing.
Yeah.
But actual
pictures. I thought that was a Daredevil thing for a first.
Yeah. You know, it actually works a little better as a Daredevil thing because you can't see squat and all you can hear is kind of
yeah.
But those pictures are up, and I think Darren tweeted them out. I don't know if the pictures are on the on geekcavepodcast.com or not, but they're not terribly hard to find.
Yeah, they're definitely, if you go to our Twitter account, you can find them pretty easily. That's at geekcavepodcast. And yeah, looks like Batman.
So
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the helmet,
the ears,
the cowl. Yeah, the ears are a little off-putting,
mm-hmm.
but I like the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ears are a little. Yeah.
Well, if you look at the last photo, which is a zoomed out shot of him riding the bat cycle, the ears don't bother me as much.
Well, I guess there is that.
So, all right. And going the next step, because we are games people as well. Uncharted is supposed to also be made into a movie, and it has had this notoriously difficult production. You know, there have been delays upon delays, but Tom Holland, who was cast as young Nathan Drake, is still optimistic, and he thinks that they figured out a way to get around the underperforming video game movie thing. So in his words, quote, "I think what Uncharted offers that most video games films don't is that it's an origin story to the games. So if you played the games, you haven't seen what's going to happen in the film. And if you haven't played the games, you're going to enjoy the film because it's information that everyone else is getting at the same time." End quote. Mr. Holland, I would like to respond that the problem with your statement is that origin stories also deny dramatic tension. Because there are five video games starring Nathan Drake that take place after this. And the last one that was made starring Nathan Drake, Uncharted 4, also shows him as a child. So
Uncharted 3 also had him as a kid.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So there's still plenty of opportunity for good storytelling, but don't BS me with these platitudes.
You know?
No. Now, that all being said, I am really looking forward to Mark Wahlberg as Sully goddamn Sullivan. and before you at me, it's his Christian name.
It is.
In a stunning move toward Oscar season already, Rocket Science and Amusement Park Productions have acquired the rights to produce the anti-war drama Invest in Nichts Neues, which in English is All Quiet on the Western Front. So this is one of those movies that cannot be anything other than Oscar bait, because no one in their right mind wants to watch the drudgery that happens between battles, culminating in the death of everyone. Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Man, I haven't seen World War II yet.
So the movie Made in Hong Kong is getting a U.S. release. This doesn't sound like this great big deal until you realize that the movie was first released in 1997 and then restored in 2017. You know, so made in Hong Kong, it's the first independent film released in post-handover, mm-hmm. you know, when Britain kind of gave people back their city.
Yeah.
And the film is this atmospheric, pessimistic film depicting the city in a state of high tension and following this high school dropout triad tough named Autumn Moon. Now, to give a bit of background, this film has drawn comparisons to like Rebel Without a Cause in terms of the Chinese version of Rebel Without a Cause. But it won the Best Picture Award at the 1998 Hong Kong Film Awards, along with 13 other awards, and nominated for another 6. You know, 20 nominations for awards at that time. And so that this film had not come to America officially is kind of a crime against art. Or, you know, maybe not. Maybe it's awful and, you know, it's just nostalgia or whatnot. Anyway, as Cheech Marin said in Ghostbusters 2 when the ghost Titanic pulled into the harbor, well, better late than never. Didn't think you were going to get a Ghostbusters 2 reference today, did you?
No, I didn't, but I am a happier person for it. Thank you.
So there are certain groups of actors that when they are together, magic happens. So, for example, I would happily watch just about any movie that includes Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg together because they seem to bounce off each other really, really well. Well, a trio of women are getting together now for the first time since 1996. Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn, and Diane Keaton are from the First Wives Club are getting together for a family comedy called Family Jewels. Now, this is one of those things where the what's it about has me kind of scratching my head. So what's it about is that each of these three women were at some point all married to the same man. Not at the same time, but
yeah.
You know, he had three wives. After he dies, they are somehow and for some reason forced to spend the Christmas holidays together along with their kids and grandkids. So I'm skeptical of the premise, but the caliber of the talent in these three women, it just, I'm willing to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, First Wives Club didn't look like a whole lot of fun on paper. You know, three divorcees take revenge on their ex-husbands. What? So, All right. Well, speaking of actors getting together and doing things, Justin.
Yes.
You said that there was something that a couple of our Marvel heroes want to do.
Yes, you mentioned Tom Holland earlier. He and Chris Pratt want to host a Dungeons & Dragons game with the cast of the Avengers.
Yes.
That is just amazing.
Yes. And that's all I know. They want to do this thing, and I hope it happens. I hope it's filmed.
And I want Samuel L. Jackson to DM.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
I don't care what else happens. I want Samuel L. Jackson to DM if they can't get Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
So
even if they can, I want Sam Jackson.
Yes. So which is really cool. I love this idea of and I realize that the actors are not their characters. I understand that, and I think most of us get that. At the same time, the way that Marvel has promoted these actors to the public, we feel that they kind of are as well.
And
so even if they're in character being other characters, it's something that kind of speaks to us.
And to a degree, they kind of are. Not saying that Robert Downey Jr. is, you know, a drunken playboy kind of thing.
Anymore.
But he is that, he does have a bit of eccentricity to him, mm-hmm. you know, which makes him a good fit for Tony Stark. Chris Evans is genuinely a nice guy who does nice things, which makes him a good fit for Captain America. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bit of the actor that was best suited for the role.
Right.
So, you know, while they are not their characters, they do display aspects of the characters.
And speaking of nice guy Chris Evans, Darren, you had mentioned something, and I don't remember what it was, but I'm pretty sure it had something to do with Evans.
Well, as you know, Chris Evans, like you said, the actors are not their characters, but Chris Evans is sure damn trying hard to be Captain America because he just seems to be one of the nicest freaking gentlemen on Earth. He is raffling off an Avengers Endgame screen-used version of the Captain America shield for charity.
Huh.
This is something I got from Newsarama. He announced it on his personal Twitter. It's for the charity Girl Powerful, an organization that is described as, quote, giving girls the tools to develop a strong sense of self. You can enter online. Hopefully the raffle is still up and going by the time you hear this podcast. But if not, still just kind of a really cool thing. A great way for someone to get a piece of Marvel history and at the same time raise a whole lot of money to Girl Powerful, which you can also just go to their website. You can find it at on Twitter, at Girl Powerful, all one word. And it's just, you know, it's just super cool. I just thought it was something that deserved a little bit of attention. And looks like, oh, they were also doing a 0% fee on donations and all donations tax deductible. So that's really cool.
That nice. Is very cool. Awesome. So Nickelodeon is gearing up to make some live action shows.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to lay these down for you guys.
Hmm.
The first one is called Tyler Perry's Young Dylan.
Okay.
It follows a family whose world is turned upside down when their nephew, an aspiring hip-hop star, moves in because he becomes too much for his grandmother. And so he is sent to live with his affluent uncle and live with them and their straight-laced, moderately conservative kids.
Hmm.
You might say that his life got flipped, turned upside down. We've got The Astronauts, working title, which follows a group of kids that are accidentally launched into space. Anybody All else right. remember that movie from the 90s?
Yeah.
80s?
Yeah.
And finally, Loud House, A Very Loud Christmas, a live-action feature-length TV movie. Oh, I'm so excited for holiday season 2020, which finds Lincoln getting ready for the ultimate Christmas.
Ultimate Christmas.
Ultimate Christmas.
When he learns that most of his sisters have plans elsewhere, And so naturally he realizes that things change and he voices his disappointment but loving acceptance to his parents. No, he doesn't. He and somebody else go on a mission to sabotage his sister's plans in a bid to preserve family tradition. I'm sure it'll have a happy ending. Honestly, I'm not on board with any of these. But I don't think they're really being made for me.
To be honest, I haven't been on board with anything Nickelodeon has done since the 90s.
Yeah.
That's so, fair.
As the
as the curmudgeon of the group.
Yes.
I will say the 2005 Ninja Turtles series on Nickelodeon was pretty good.
Okay.
All right. There's always one exception.
There almost always is.
Yes.
And they have never released it on, well, they haven't released it on DVD, you know,
yeah,
steadily.
And with that, I'm not on board.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
My point stands.
As the father of a young child, I'm both excited and dreading the 2021 release of Paw Patrol the movie.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Having just been picked up for its eighth season, though it's taken kind of a downturn in quality since season four, ask me how I know.
How do you know?
Oh, I know. Paw Patrol follows a group of civic hero pups led by their human friend Ryder. They go on adventures and help people through teamwork. And it's a fine show at 20 minutes a pop, or, you know, 12 minutes. 90 minutes? Oh, Lord. So they better kill Mayor Humdinger. Yeah, I just want Police Pup Chase to like tear his arm off, kind of thing.
Well,
that's not going to happen, but I kind of want it to happen anyway.
No, the Nads are closer.
Yeah,
but have you seen Paw Patrol on Ice?
Not yet.
Have you?
No, I haven't, but I have had to watch a video of some of the highlights because our station was doing a giveaway.
Okay, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible.
So, in the realm of things inexplicably popular and somehow coming back, Friends is reuniting for an exclusive HBO Max special. Yeah. And if you're so inclined, you'll be able to stream all 236 episodes on HBO Max for reasons.
You know.
All right.
The one where I don't care.
So, not reviews, but do we have any other news? All right, so
we are on to
reviews. So movie reviews. Justin, you saw a movie?
Yes, I did.
What did you saw?
I saw Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Okay.
The title does not match the tone of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's good. Okay, the movie's really good. I love this version of Harley, done very well. The only time you see Jared Leto's Joker is from a scene from Suicide Squad where you only see from the back of his head. Mm-hmm. And any other time the Joker is depicted, it's a cartoon, which is very reminiscent of the classic Joker.
Cesar Romero?
No, think the Superpowers toy line Joker.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. They make no reference to Leto's Joker whatsoever.
Outside of that right. one back of the head scene.
But even then, you know, you can't see the tattoos. You just see...
It's just a head.
The scene is more... The focus is on that scene. The camera focuses on Harley's face. And there's just this foreground obscured green hair.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I dig this. I like it. The movie is very good. I'm not going to spoil because it's probably still out in theaters right now.
Yeah.
It's very good. Like I said, the title doesn't match because it's not a Birds of Prey movie. It's a Harley Quinn movie that Birds of Prey make an appearance in. Mm-hmm. We are introduced to all of the characters who become the Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the movie. It's a Harley Quinn movie.
Okay.
So well,
Margot Robbie has done kind of an amazing job with that character. Yeah.
They just think of the movie title as The Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Just drop Birds of Prey and everything fits nicely.
I think they actually did drop the Birds of Prey part in at least some markets where they're now just calling it Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm even okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey begins.
Yes. So I saw a movie. My son saw a movie.
Really?
Yeah. He went to go see Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
If you are 7 to 9 years old, or you are a fan of 90s era Jim Carrey, you know, Ace Ventura, The Mask,
right?
You're going to love it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That seems to be the marketing for it, too.
Yeah.
Yay, truth in advertising. Yeah.
My son, who can't sit still for crap, sat through the movie with my mother, who also enjoyed it because I think she enjoys 90s era Jim Carrey.
I'm on board.
And he wants to go back and see it in the theaters again. I'm like, okay, they did a good job, apparently.
Awesome. Nice. So that's movies, except for the random movie review. A couple of TV / Netflix things. Watched the first episode of Lock and Key. Meh. You know, I don't know if I like. I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre in TV shows. Movies, sure, but TV shows, a little bit less. First episode of Ragnarok. I'm undecided, but optimistic. That one came out a little bit better. It's a Norwegian kid gains the powers of a Norse god. And there seems to be other Norse gods around. Darren, did you ever finish The Witcher? I just never got back into it. So.
Yeah, I recently finished season one of The Witcher. I thought it was really well done. They finally got the three diverging timelines to connect, and now everyone's on the same wavelength, and I'm looking forward to season two. I don't have anything negative to say about it. I really thought it was a masterful creation and telling, especially since it's dedicated more toward the books than it is the video game series.
Mm-hmm.
And season two, the cast has already been announced. Season two, I believe, is coming in December, I want to say. TGC Liz has a great write-up on the cast that has been confirmed for the second season. And now I'm just kind of counting down the days till Stranger Things 4 comes back and I start using Netflix again.
Yay! Well, in terms of using Netflix again, we spun the roulette wheel, and apparently my next random movie review, it's called Amar, but it's just translated as loving. And the cover reminds me an awful lot of Gaspar Noé's Love. So
good.
I am a little bit anxious by way of what I'm about to get myself into. So anyway, if there's no other reviews or news, then I believe we are just waiting for Kent.
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
The roulette wheel told me to watch Flavors of Youth. It's a Japanese-Chinese collaborative anthology, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a good start.
Well, so it's three separate stories on growing up, growing older, maturing, changing, so forth. And I don't know that I liked it, but I was certainly impacted by it.
Okay.
One of those kind of movies. So I'll tell you each of the three stories. And then the first story starts with this young man telling a story of his grandmother and these special noodles that she would get from the local noodle shop. You know, the noodles, they kind of came to represent the innocence of childhood and this loving relationship that he had with his grandmother. And eventually that noodle shop closed down and another one took its place. And they don't make homemade noodles at that place, but the toppings were good. There are more toppings to go with it. And so he's fine, you know. And as things go, you know, that noodle shop closes down, you know, as well. And the next time that we see him getting noodles, he's in Beijing, where the noodles are prepackaged. There's not as many toppings. The price is higher. He's just overall dissatisfied. But this now man, you know, grown up man, he's in the midst of this dissatisfaction. He receives a phone call that his grandmother is dying. You know, we've seen him grow up very quickly. Each part of the story is about 25 minutes long.
Okay.
And so he gets in the plane and he gets home and he makes it just in time to have kind of this moment with his grandmother before she dies. And the next thing we see is he kind of walks through this town he grows up in and orders a bowl of noodles and just kind of reminisces, you know, things go on, but some things also stay the same. And I tell you, that one just, it hit hard. That one, the way that it's told, the way, because the whole thing is almost like a tone poem. You know, there's not really a lot of action. There's not, it's just this guy basically narrating this story of his life and how these noodles have represented different parts of his life. But man, was it just right in the feels. So the second story follows a woman. She's a model. And she claims that she became a model because she has no other talents. You know, her talent is that she's tall and beautiful.
Ah, a curse I bear as well.
Yes. and she is also getting older. And so because the modeling business is horrible, she's pushing herself too hard. And she's refusing food and she's exercising to exhaustion, etc. And she... eventually, she collapses. She fails, and so she's facing this replacement by younger models, and it takes her a lot of time. Most of this story is her kind of not just getting stronger and recovering from this collapse, but also kind of finding the fire back in her soul that, mm-hmm. that keeps going. You know, that defies. You know, this, so what if I'm getting a little older? You know, I can still do this thing. There is more to modeling than just being tall and beautiful kind of bit. And with her sister's support and a bit of a kick in the keister, you know, she reclaims that, you know. And in reclaiming that, she becomes a complete person. She's not just a beautiful shell of a person. You know, she actually has kind of an inner life at that point and an inner person, not just a pretty window dressing.
Yeah.
It was the weakest of the three to me. But also probably the most irritating. Like when you watch it, it's like, ah, oh, I just, yeah. You need a stern talking to, and the people that are around you also need a stern talking to.
Fair enough.
So, and then the final story follows this young man and young man, he's in his 20s, you know, he's finished school, he's an engineer.
Yeah.
You know. He's unpacking. He's just moved and he's unpacking. And in this box, he finds an old cassette tape. You know, pencil cassette tape.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking. And he asks where it's from, and then we get this flashback. And he's friends with this girl. And one of the days, she's getting ready to run home, and she falls on a piece of broken street and gets hurt. And so he picks her up and he kind of piggyback rides her back home. And she knows that she's not going to make it to school. So she hands him this this cassette and says, would you record the school lessons, you know, so that I don't get behind? And that just kind of turns into them trading this cassette back and forth and adding commentary and kind of asking questions and talking about dreams. And through this cassette tape that they can listen to at night, you know, they build this relationship. Until she eventually tells him that she's planning to go to this upscale school and she's going to have to move away. And so he's feeling abandoned by her. And so he basically makes the commitment, says he's going to go too, even though he is not anywhere in the same academic, you know, strata that she is. And so hard work, dedication, he passes this test and is accepted. And he's elated because now he gets to go to the same school as this girl. He runs to her house and the neighbor says that she's in the hospital because she failed her test, her entrance test, and her father beat her so bad she's in the hospital. So, I mean, right away, I'm just like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Why is that here?
Yeah.
He ends up going to the school. His family has to move, you know, because the school's far away. And then we get, you know, that he gets out of school and comes back. And in this move, he finds this cassette that was left while he was studying for this test. But he didn't have time to listen to it You know, and in that cassette, when he finds it and he runs to his grandparents' house and he digs out the old cassette player and listens to it, and he hears this childhood friend telling him that she doesn't want to be without him, so she's going to purposely fail the test.
Oh, shit.
And he kind of realizes that his dedication to, you know, to doing this cost him kind of this relationship of what might have been, you know? And so he mourns that kind of life they could have had. And the story ends with him, you know, managing this hotel, and she walks in through the door. They see each other, they smile, and it just kind of ends, you know, uplifting, you know?
Yeah.
And overall, all three of them do. All three of these stories end optimistically, hopefully. But my God, are they not easy to watch? I mean, there are parts that I was actively just crying while watching this movie. It is so impactful. And maybe it's impactful because I'm getting right into that middle age, you know, where I'm clearly not a child, you know, but I'm not
an adult.
Well, I'm not retirement age. Yeah. You know, I'm right in the age that these characters are as they're reflecting back on growing up.
Yeah.
It is practically midlife crisis, you know, the movie. But not about buying sports cars, but about kind of realizing lost opportunities or remembering certain good things about the past.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better to say that it's three meditations on aging and maturing, but even that's too simple. So this movie's defied most of my attempts to qualify it. And so I'm just going to say, I recommend this as a movie that has to be experienced. You know, it is exceptional. And I say, be like me.
All right.
I say, be like me. There is one further business, because I forgot something. Nick Cage is going to be in a movie where he plays Nick Cage, being Nick Cage and Nick Caging all over the place. We're going to write it up and put it on geekcavepodcast.com. You'll find it sometime around the 23rd of February for those of you who don't 22nd, 23rd of February for those who don't see it ahead of time. There being no further business, for Kent Harris, who makes us sound so much sexier than we are, for Darren Wright, who makes us sound so much more professional than we are, for Justin White, who makes us sound so much funnier than we are, I'm Chad Savage. Thanks for listening, and remember that everyone is a geek for something.